And man, I tell you, it's nothing like having a good, good father. So I'm here today, and I am so excited. I've been thinking about this time for the past 2 weeks, and it's like God is such a good, good father that here I am back at home again.
All right.
And if you don't understand that, so that I can help you understand that, what I'm saying is that this is where it all started for me on a Saturday night on this stage right here, proclaiming God's word as the pastor of Victory Church. But God is such a good, good father that he brings me back full circle. And here I am again preaching as a pastor on staff at Connect Church. Isn't he a good, good father? Amen. And so for those of you who don't know who I am Pastor Aleem Bakari. I, too, am one of the newest old members of Connect Church. So it's new old Aleem, and if some of you understand that show, if you don't, that's all right. So I am so excited about being here today. So if you would, so that I don't belay the time, can we all stand? Because I like to stand when I read God's word. And as you stand, go ahead and bring out your phones or whatever device that you use to read God's word. And as you're standing, go ahead and turn to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament and turn to the third chapter. Joshua, the third chapter. If you have it, say, I have it.
I have it.
If you don't have it, say, hold up. All right, I hear some hold ups in the crowd. All right, it is in the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. And I believe today with all that's within me that God has a word for us as a church. God has a word for us as a group of people who are coming together to do the impossible. And so I believe that this word today is found in Joshua chapter 3. If you have it, say, I have it. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 reads as such. It says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan. And they lodged there, catch this, before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord your God, with the Levitical priest carrying it, catch this, he said, then you shall set out from your place, and please highlight this, he says, go after it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for this opportunity. I thank you, God, for your word today. I thank you for these, your people. God, I pray, God, that this word today falls on the good soils of our heart, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but God, that this word today falls on the good soils of our heart. Why? Because, God, it's important for us to move forward in who and what you're calling us to be. And so, God, here I stand, your humble servant. God, I ask you to just do one thing today, God. Wear me like a glove. Use me for the very intents and purposes that you created me for. And that was to stand flat-footed and proclaim your word. And so, God, I just thank you for what you're going to do today. And so we just give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. And as you're taking your seats, watch this.
Anybody know what this place is? This is Gettysburg. This is where they fought the Battle of Gettysburg. 50,000 men died right here on this field, fighting the same fight that we're still fighting amongst ourselves. today. This green field right here, painted red, bubbling with the blood of young boys. Smoke and hot lead pouring right through their bodies. Listen to their souls, man. I killed my brother with malice in my heart. Hatred destroyed my family. You listen. You take a lesson from the dead. If we don't come together right now on this hollow ground, we too will be destroyed. Just like they were. I don't care if you like each other or not, but you will respect each other. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you will learn to play this game like men.
What a daunting task that those young men faced. Here they were, they found themselves in a sacred place, in a hollow place where lives had been lost. All in the name of this great country that we live in today. Here they are, a group of diverse individuals. Attempting to come together and to do the impossible of becoming a team. We as Connect Church find ourselves in a similar situation. Here we are in a sacred place, called to a sacred purpose with a diverse group of people. The Bible tells us of a similar circumstance, of a similar situation. Here it is, the children of Israel had been wandering around for 40 years. And why had they been wandering for 40 years? Because God had to work out, and some people had to die off. Some people had to fade away. Why? Because they weren't prepared to go to where God had called them to go. Why? Because they were afraid of the enemies that were in the promised land. And so here it is, some 40 years later. Their beloved leader, Moses, had died. Joshua, the new man in charge. In chapter 1 of Joshua, God speaks to him and says, now's the time. He says, be bold and courageous. And he told him this. He says, I am with you. And so chapter 3, here it is. Joshua had gotten the children of Israel to the brink of the Jordan. And if you look in verse 15, there is a context clue in Joshua chapter 3, verse 15 that helps you to kind of frame and understand what the children of Israel was facing. Because in verse 15, it says this, it says that for the Jordan overflows, and catch this, it says all of its banks, and it says all of the days of harvest that the Jordan is overflowing. And so here they are on the brink of the Jordan. They're finally in the right place. God has told them it's the right time, but there's this obstacle that's before them. The Jordan is overflowing. And see, I had the pleasure of going to Israel with Pastor Jay a couple of years ago, and man, I'm going to tell you, when I got to the Jordan, I was like, is this it? Because it was dirty. It was green. it actually looked like the Trinity. I was like, you want me to do what? Get baptized where? Nah, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay. But the context clue says that the Jordan had overflowed. And so here they are with this huge obstacle in front of them, just like we are today. Our lives are overflowing with politics and the internet and Facebook and Instagram and all of the other opinions, all of these things. Our society is just overflowing with what we should do and how we should conduct our lives. It's just opinions everywhere, overflowing. But here we are as a group of people who've decided to come together and to do the impossible of taking 2, 3, 4 diverse people groups and bringing them together, all behind this one common purpose, and that is to make God's name great. But if we're going to move from where we are to where God is calling us to go, I believe that there are a few things that we're going to have to face and that we're going to have to overcome if we're going to, just like the children of Israel, when they came to the Jordan and the Jordan was overflowing all of the days, all of the seasons, there. If we're going to overcome all of the obstacles, here it is, the first thing that we must do as a church, as a group, and we must do this individually. Here's why, because I didn't even give you the title of my sermon. The title of my sermon is Crossing Over. But to make it personal, we have to cross our personal Jordan. You see, there was over 2 million Israelites. But they all had to follow the process. They all had to do this one thing for all of them to cross over. They all, God outlined in Joshua chapter 3, a great process for them to follow. And the first thing that this text shows us is this, is that if we're going to move from where we are to where God is calling us to be, catch this, the first thing that we're going to have to do is we're going to have to learn to follow the leaders. Chapter 3, verse 3 says this. It says, and they commanded the people, saying, catch this, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, with who? The Levitical priest carrying it. He says, then you shall set out from your place. And he says, go after it. Guys, if we're going to move from a diverse, from a divided, from a separated, from a segregated church on Sundays, what we're going to have to do is we're going to first have to follow the leaders. And the leaders of this church is Pastor Jay and the elders. Because here's what you must understand. This was not just a great idea that we was all sitting around saying, oh, it is just a great idea. No, we sought God if this was the right thing to do, if this was the right time to. We spent time on this. This was not something that we just said, oh, it feels good. Yeah, let's just come together. No, we have a leadership team. Not only a lead pastor, but we have elders. And we have godly elders who are willing to obey and follow God. And so here's my challenge to us today. Follow us as we follow God. Follow us as we follow God. If we're not following God, I'm telling you, don't follow us.
But God has called us for such a time as this. And I'm telling you, follow us as we follow God. And here's why. Because we hold each other accountable. And then we have godly leaders here who desire to catch this, to serve God's people and to lead them well. That's our charge as elders, is to serve God's people and lead them well. But if we're going to move from where God has called us, from where we are to where God is calling us, here's why we must follow the leader and why this is important. In verse 4, it says this. It says, however, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits. He says, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go. You can't go unless you follow the leaders. But here's why. He says this, and please underline this. He says, for you have not passed this way before. Man, when I saw that, I was like, man, for us to do what God is calling us to do, for some of us, this is probably the closest that you've set with somebody that did not look like you. Unless it was on a Sunday at 12 or at 3, and you're sitting in AT&T Stadium. And then the only time that you've set this close to somebody, and the only time, even if you were sitting beside them, the only time that you interacted was when your team scored. If your team don't score, you sitting there like. But for some of us, we've never been this way before. I'll be the first to tell you, I have never served under a Caucasian pastor before. Never. And my friends know I said I would never. I'm just being transparent because it's nothing against him or any other ones. It's just that I just knew some who were black. But what I want and what God is calling me to, what I want and what God wants supersedes what I want. And so, because for some of us, we have physically never passed this way before. Some of us, mentally, we have never been this close to somebody that didn't look like us before. For some of us, spiritually, some of us, the only time that we had for ourselves on Sunday was, oh man, at least I can go to church and not have to be bothered with them folk. Oh, don't act like you don't think like that. But if we're going to cross over, if we're going to move from where we are to where God is calling us to be, I'm telling you, we're going to have to follow the leader, and we need to follow him. And the reason we need to follow him is that we've never been this way before. But not only do we need to follow the leader, for God to move us from where we are to where he's calling us, catch this, we must also face our enemies. You see, the children of Israel, this story actually started back in Numbers chapter 13. God commanded Moses to send out the spies, and he sent out 12 spies, and only two of the spies could see what God saw, and the other 10 said that there were giants in the land. This text in verse 10 says this. It says, Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you, catch this, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Persianite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite, and any other ites. He said he's going to dispossess all of them from the land. All we got to do is just follow the leader. He says, and as you're following the leader, here's it. I need you to face your enemies. And what are the enemies that we face here at Connect Church? What are the enemies that we face individually that will hinder us from going from where we are to where God is calling us to be? Here's the thing. In the book of Numbers 13, it says this, that the 10 spies, they didn't see it because all they saw were the giants. The text says that the 10 spies said that there are Nephilim in the land. There's giants in the land. Can I ask you this? What giants are you facing or that you're afraid to face? Or what giants are in your life that's keeping you from connecting and being a part of a diverse group? What is your personal giants that you deal with on the inside that keeps you from seeing people the way God sees them? I believe that there's three giants that we all face here at Connect Church. I don't care if you're white, black, blue, or green. These three giants that we face, that we're going to have to face, is this. It's not a Canaanite, it's not a Hittite, and it's not a Hivite. Here it is, the three giants, the three enemies. And before I say that, here it is. It's not enemies that's going to stop us. It's the inner me's. See, it's those inner me's that can be like giants in our eyes. And I believe those three giants are this. Pride, prejudice, and preferences. If you ask any pastor around the world, I'm telling you, in some shape, form, or fashion, these are the three enemies that all churches face. They face pride, they face prejudice, and they face preferences. What are the prides? The prides are those statements that you say to yourself, I will not. I wish I would sit next to. You mean I got to share a communion cup with? See, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell y'all that this was going to be a crucial conversation today. Because here's the thing. See, I've been observing for the last 2 weeks. And, you know, it's one thing for us to come and, man, sing these great songs. And Carl and Sherry and the team, man, y'all are doing a great job. Y'all are doing a fantastic job. But here it is. So now that the church is launched, we got to move past just singing songs and holding hands and saying, hey, brother, hey, sister, how you doing? God bless you. No, if we're going to do what God has called us to do, it's going to go past the song. It's going to go past the smile. We're going to have to face some things that are deep down inside of us that keeps us from connecting to the people that God has called us to. And he's called us to be one people. And we must face this giant in our life of pride. It's all right to have pride in your country that your family came from. Hey, I'm with that. But your nationalistic pride should not overcome the kingdom concept of what God has. The second giant that we face is prejudice. I don't like that. I don't like them. You know what they say. Ooh, God, I thank you for giving me broad shoulders today. Thank you, Lord. You know what they say about black people. Girl, you mean you gonna go to church and sit and pray and have service with them? You know you cannot trust white people. You know, what's my man? It was so bad that Public Enemy had out a song. Can't trust him. Can't trust him. You know what they say about Hispanic folks? Have you ever checked out our faces when we're talking, when we are verbalizing pride and prejudice? There's this face that we have, and excuse me, I know that y'all are getting to know me, but I just need to. Pastor Jay gave me freedom today to just preach like I can preach. Okay, so I'm gonna just say, when you see people and they have some pride or some prejudice, there's a certain face that they have, isn't it? Like, thank you. I was wondering if I was gonna say it. Man, it's the stank face. A stank face is not a godly face. Somebody put that on a t-shirt. Man, a stank face ain't a godly face. And so, ooh, y'all, see, some people from this church that we used to attend told me, Pastor, don't get up there acting a fool in front of these good white people. And I said, okay, but I'm sorry, y'all. So it's pride, prejudice, and then check this out. Now, this is a church killer. Preferences have killed more churches than Satan ever had. I don't like that type of music. The music is too loud. Why we got to pass out the offering envelopes at this time? Why can't we pass them out at that time? Why do we have to walk around? Why can't we sit in our chairs? Why do we have to take communion like this? Well, why do we all, I mean, why do we have to sit on? I mean, why do we have to stand for all the songs? Why do we have to sit on? I mean, preferences have just killed churches. Well, that music is too loud. I'm standing too long. Ooh, but if I need you to escort me out of here, just stay close, okay? I don't live that far, all right? So we have to overcome our enemies, enemies, these giants that we have of pride, prejudice, and preferences for us to move forward to what God is calling us to be. Man, God has such a great task that I'm telling you, sometimes I sit and I think about the possibilities of what Connect Church is going to be able to do. And man, I'm telling you, I wake up at night and I can't sleep because, man, there's something good is going to happen. But because we decided to lay aside our pride, our preferences, and all of that to do what God has called us to do. But in order to do it, we must face our enemies. So we must follow our leaders, and we must face our enemies. And next, man, we must be willing to go deep. I got so excited when I seen the song that we were singing, said that God is calling me to go deeper. Oh man, I'm telling you, it was just all in my sermon. Why? Because we must be willing to go deep. What does deep look like for us as a church? Deep looks like this. For some of us, we're going to have to be willing to go into those deep, dark, inner places that's inside of us that we try to hide, but it's those deep, dark places of somebody that's a different color did something to you some years ago, or it could even be sometime here soon. It's those deep-seated thoughts and those deep-seated, deep-seated about how I was raised. I was raised to not like those people. And can I say this? I want to be emphatic about this. Black people are just as prejudiced as others. Okay? Can I say that? Yes, I'm not scared to say it. Yes, it's not just on one side. We are all it's in every race, okay? We can sometimes hold deep-seated hatred and pride and prejudice as other races of people do. But here's the thing. For us to go from where God is, from where we are to where God is calling us to go, we're going to have to be willing to go deep. Those deep, dark places. And when we go deep, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to ask God to heal me. First, God, open up my heart to being more receptive to people that they may have hurt someone that you, they may have done something to you or to someone that you have loved. Or it could just be a perceived thought that you have. Those deep, dark places. But then as a church, also what going deep looks like is that we're now that we're together, it's going to take some of us going deeper into connecting with God, and we're going to have to go deeper in connecting, reconnect for some, and connecting with others with Connect Church. You see, some of us, we have just gotten so used to the way church used to be, is that now we have kind of gotten laxed. We find ourselves, man, I got to go to the boat today. You know, man, I ain't been to my boat. I got to go take care of my boat. And, man, I got to go take care of my land. And, man, I got to go see John, who I really don't like. But just because I don't want to go to church, I'm going to go see John. We have to reconnect, because I'm telling you, for us to do this, it's going to take all of us collectively, and it's going to take all of us putting in the maximum effort to get us to where God is calling us to be. And so we're going to have to reconnect or connect with Victory, with Connect Church. And man, I got almost through my sermon without saying it one time. Wow. So, but we're going to have to connect. And what that means is we're going to have to commit to an area to serve in. We're going to have to recommit to small groups. We're going to have to recommit to giving. We're going to have to recommit to honoring this as God's time and schedule everything else around God's time, and not just allowing God and you schedule everything. For us to do and to go where God is calling us to go, He's calling us to a deeper relationship with Him and a deeper relationship with Connect Church. So we must follow the leaders, face our enemies, be willing to go deep, and then last, and I'm going to wrap up, we must trust the process. We got to trust the process. God outlined a process for the children of Israel for them to cross over, for them to get to the other side. And if we're going to cross our personal Jordans, if we're going to cross our personal Jordans, here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to trust God's process. And here's the thing. I'm not going to say that you're going to agree with everything that we do, but trust the process. You might not like all of the changes, and there's going to have to be some hard decisions that we're going to have to make. But can I tell you this? Trust the process. And what's our process? What's the process that God has outlined for us on this side of the Jordan? What God has outlined for us is this, is for us to love God and love people. Man, if we could just... It sounds simple, but it's so hard to do, because here's the thing. Can you love somebody who's not showing love back? Can you love the unlovable? We got to trust the process. And the only way that we're going to be able to do this, how we're going to move from where we are to where God is calling us to go, we must love God with all of our heart. And we must love God. We must love people the way that God does. That's the only way. And so, as I close, I've talked today about crossing over, crossing the Jordan, crossing our personal Jordans. And so I believe for us to do this, it's going to take something really, really simple. First of all, we're going to have to take off everything that we've thought that we knew. We're going to have to take off our pride, our prejudice, and our preferences. We're going to have to be willing to let all of that go. But after we let that go, what do we have to do? I believe this, is that we must be willing to walk in our personal Jordan. Man, we have to be willing to walk in our personal Jordan. But not only do we have to walk in our personal Jordans, we must be willing to walk on all of those things that hinder us, all of those obstacles that stops us from being who God has called us to be, to going where God has called us to go. We must be willing to walk in our Jordan. You see, because the children of Israel, the text says this, that when the priest put his toe in the Jordan, the text says that the Jordan divided. And that God, way back up on Mount Hermon, the text says that he stopped the dew from Mount Hermon flowing into the Jordan. And all the children of Israel had to do is they had to walk in the Jordan. But it's something about just walking in it, because if you just walk in and stay, you are stuck. He says that, the text says that the children of Israel not only walked in, but the text says that they walked on the Jordan. And you see, this confused me for a long time as I was studying this. I'm like, God, what are you saying they walked on? Because, see, I was thinking that the water was the Jordan. The water doesn't not make the Jordan. It's the bed. It's the actual Jordan that makes the Jordan. And the Bible says that the priest stood at the deepest part in the middle. And the Bible says that the children of Israel walked on the Jordan. What are you willing to walk on today? Are you willing to walk on your pride, your prejudice, and your preferences? And so, as I close, I want to do this. I'm going to ask Pastor Jay, since I asked you to follow the leader. If you would, Pastor Jay, as a symbol of you being willing to walk on your personal journey, I want you to walk down here. And then all of the elders who are here today, I want you as a symbol, I want you to walk down here as well. Because I asked you to do something when I first started. I asked you to follow the leaders. And so if you're an elder in this church, I want you to walk down here. And then thirdly, here's your challenge. Connect Church is your symbol of you being willing to walk on your personal journey. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to follow the leaders down to this altar.